Please stand with me now as we will read out of Psalm 23, probably one of the most popular prayers and psalms in the world, probably second to the Lord's Prayer in popularity of memorization. So dwell upon these words now as we read it together. Sometimes familiarity can cause us to disconnect. May it be that in our reading together, the familiarity will just add to a greater understanding as we read it together. Hear now the word of the Lord, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this prayer. We thank you for this song. We thank you that not only did David sing this, but your son sang it for us, and we sing it now as we are one with him. Help us, Father, to cling on to these words with hopefulness and thanksgiving. Help us to have peace from dwelling upon them. And help us to ask others to pray it with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm sure that you have read commentaries and devotionals and heard sermons and has dwelt upon this psalm much before. It is one that you have probably have heard more in the movies than maybe some other psalms, and also maybe even more than the Lord's Prayer in some occasions. This is something that a lot of people come to have before them in a time of difficulty, in a time of often death. It is something that a lot of people will recite even at funerals. This is very much a Christmas psalm. I know that in a sense, because of Advent, I am going to try to impose this, but it's great to be able to do that. When you're preaching about Jesus Christ, it's very easy to make that an Advent psalm. But I truly believe that in this, as we think about the past, how we have the Savior King, today we have a Shepherd King being presented before us. And it's wonderful as we think about what kind of King we have, that we have this rich imagery and this great reality that Jesus Christ is our Shepherd. The imagery of God being a shepherd for us goes all the way back into Genesis. It was something that was mentioned there and is elevated when we see the revelation of Jesus Christ. But as with all the other psalms, I want to first go back and think about David and his particular posture as he was writing this, because as we all know, David was a shepherd. Question: how many times was David anointed as king? Okay, I've got a two over here. I got a two over here too. Is that the right answer? Oh, she says three. Oh, yes. What are you going to say? Three, two?
No.
Or are you just copying her?
No.
Okay. One? Okay. Does anybody know the first time David was anointed as king? Yes.
So Samuel went to the house of Jesse to pick out the Lord's chosen one, and he was anointed there.
Right, and what was his occupation at that time? He was a shepherd. Now, I can imagine what it would have been like if you know that story about David when he was first anointed by Samuel. He was amongst his other brothers, and Jesse, the father, was presenting the brothers before Samuel as Samuel was looking to anoint a new king. It would be kind of like those times when you see that great present under the tree, and you don't know who it belongs to, and the person gets the present, and the kids are thinking, oh, is it going to go to me? Is it going to go to me? And of course, each son came before Samuel, and Samuel said, no, no, no. Is there one more? And where was David? He was tending the flock. And they brought David before him, and he was the youngest one. And here, this shepherd was anointed as king. But he wasn't ready yet, and he was not fully in that place. The answer to the question is actually three times, because we know that in time he was anointed as king of Judah, and then in time he was anointed as king over all of Israel. And so there were three times. And it was a process of his transformation and being the king of Israel. And here he was king as he was a shepherd. And we very much in this time of the year, as we are thinking about the birth of Jesus Christ, we are singing songs about the coming of the King. But at the same time, we have this tremendous, powerful imagery of shepherds. We have this powerful image of Jesus being our shepherd. So we see that we have a shepherd king, that he is both our king, but he is in a position of tremendous lowliness. David was a shepherd. It was kind of an afterthought. Oh yeah, we have David out here. Surely you're not interested in him being a king. But we see here how David recognized through his experience as a shepherd, he truly saw how God was caring for him, how God had walked along with him. And in this particular psalm, I'm going to try to make this as condensed as possible. I believe that you can see three places where we see that God, that we see that Jesus is our shepherd. One, we see that Jesus is one who leads us through life. We see that Jesus, our shepherd, is one who leads us through death. And we see that Jesus, our shepherd, is one who leads us to the table. In the first portion, in some Bibles, you may have it actually broken up in those three particular sections. You see that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. These are all images of the shepherd is one who is providing for all of our needs in our life, both physically and spiritually. He is one that has provided to such an extent that we do not have a need beyond what he has already provided. He makes us lie down in green pastures. This wonderful imagery, a place where we are fed, but a place where we also find rest and restoration. He leads us beside still waters. Waters that are there to nourish. Not waters of destruction, but waters that is truly there to, again, restore our soul and to build us up. There are so many ways that our shepherd feeds us in his word and in his spirit and in our life through so many things that he puts in our path and in the things that he gives us that we have in our life to take care of us. And all of this is for the sake of leading us onto a path of righteousness for his name's sake. We are his sheep. We are not sheep of our own. He's not there to just support our whatever our plans are. He is there so that his namesake may be manifested in his sheep. And we are grateful that we are being used and provided for in our life through his shepherding care. And then it says in verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Here we have the reality that there is an enemy. There is the enemies that David saw encompassed around him. He saw tons of death. He was involved in a tremendous amount of bloodshed. Death was very much before the eyes of David. And he saw very often how God had preserved him from very physical death. But also knowing in his own heart as he was walking with God, he saw how God was leading him away from the things of death to the point that he had such a confidence in his shepherd that he would fear not just death, but he had no fear of evil. It says, for you are with me. And what was it that gave him comfort? What was the thing that gave David? What was the thing that gave this particular sheep? What is the thing that gives us comfort? And it's right in the middle of this particular psalm. And it is that your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff that has a multi-use function. I'm sure you've heard plenty of stories about a shepherd's rod and staff, but we know that it is a weapon and a rule, but a director. It is both the thing that helps put the sheep back on the right path when the sheep is going in the wrong direction, but it is also the very thing that defends the sheep from that evil and that harm. Without the rod and the staff, there would be chaos. There would be a defenselessness amongst the fold. It is as the shepherd is holding this particular rod that there is a confidence. And surely those sheep knew the feel of that rod, both in a comforting guide and also in possibly a whack. And also would know that that particular rod can destroy the enemies that are out there in the valley of the shadow of death. For us, we know that our particular shepherd is not just carrying a rod of justice, a rod of law, a rod of direction that gives us both comfort and fear, but also protection. When we see our shepherd, Jesus Christ, carrying that rod, there is something different about that rod than is shown just in this particular imagery in this story. We know that that rod has the blood of Jesus Christ on it. I know that this is an appropriate image because we go all the way back to where Moses held up his staff before them. The seraphim, as we look at what was before us, as he became even death for us, we see that this rod has been already been put upon the very shepherd. And as we are the sheep following this shepherd, we see a bloody rod of the shepherd, and we see that he is still alive and carrying us and guiding us through this valley of death. And then we see him prepare a table, prepare a place. The imagery transitions. Sure, it could continue to be in somewhat of a sheep moment, but it is something different. It is now that there's a table before the enemies and an anointing of oil. There is something happening. This particular sheep is being transformed into not just a shepherd, into a king. There is an anointing of the sheep that was being guided and protected by the shepherd is now in a place of kingship. It's now in the household of the Lord. One that would be wandering about in the wilderness and in pastures is now enjoying an overflowing cup of goodness and mercy for all the days of not just this life, but also forever. Now, that's a very condensed moment of what we could see in the psalm. It's not very complex, but it's full of our walk with God. We see those things in every way that he provides for us. As we are going throughout our daily life, we can think of ways that is nourishing through us in the Word and through our fellowship. I have been tremendously nourished and encouraged this week as I've been reading the YouVersion app. It's funny how you, as a pastor, you try to come up with ways to get people to read and get involved, and I've planned different things, and then some people sign up, some people don't. We had 20 people sign up this week to go through the book of Luke together. Now, I'm not sure if all of them are participating. I know that some are not, but the ones that have been sharing their reaction as they've been going through these chapters of Luke together. And it's been a tremendous nourishing and restoration for my soul to hear the words of my brothers and sisters respond to the Word of God. I very much feel like the Lord is leading me in that way to be in green pastures as I look at the riches of what I have in you all, my friends. And what God is doing in your mind and your heart as you encounter the wonder of God, but also encounter your own sin and your need for this God. What a restoring and encouraging thing to have you all in my life. I can see that truly the Lord leads me into green pastures. Continually yesterday as I was working along with the session and working along with Scott and talking to Luke, I thought about this in my head, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. I know that Liz and Scott have had fear and faith. I know it's both. I know it is. They trust in the Lord, and they worry at the same time. That's our walk. They deal with their own sin, and they grieve over the sin of others. If this staff did not have the blood of Christ on us, it would just be a blood of Christ on it, which is also on us. It would just be a law. But we daily have this rod and staff before us. We have opportunities to see it even more if we are those who mourn. And if we are those who proclaim the gospel, we can proclaim as John the Baptist did and help prepare the way for the Lord in different people's life by calling people, the ones we love and those in our community, to repent and to believe. And to look at that staff, to look at that rod that comforts us. But I want to just take another direction just for a moment to really wrap up the sermon as I intended it to be a very short one. I've been reading a lot of things that talks about in Luke where the shepherds were called by the angel to go look for the Lord. And again, I know that you all have heard many sermons and you probably have thought about it even in this light, but I once again want to remind us of the reason why it seems that the Lord had called shepherds to be the one. Even in our reading plan this week. It was talking about how the Lord was showing the world that he was announcing the coming of the King through the lowest of those who were among us, to the humblest among us. We were going to the most outcast of the community to say that the King was for them. It was for the humble. And it is very true that that is one of the things that the Lord is communicating to us. And we see that even in the story of David, that here Samuel is going to go to the one who is the youngest instead of the oldest. He's going to go to the one who is a shepherd in a lowly position of being a keeper of the flock. But I want to encourage you to first consider Micah chapter 4. And I'm sorry if I'm going different directions. Just keep on thinking about shepherds. In Micah chapter 4, in verse 6, it says, "In that day, declares the Lord, I will assemble the lame and gather those who have been driven away and those whom I have afflicted. And the lame I will make the remnant, and those who are cast off a strong nation. And the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from this time forth and forevermore. And you, O tower of the flock, hill of the daughter of Zion, to you shall I come. The former dominion shall come, kingship for the daughter of Jerusalem." Here in Micah, we hear a prophecy of the coming of the King and how the King is going to go to the lame and the ones who are afflicted. But then he says, "You tower of the flock." Now, from what I've read, scholars believe that that tower of the flock is centralized around Bethlehem. And that that tower of the flock was the place where the shepherds would go to gather the ewes that would be used for temple sacrifice. In Luke, when we see the angel proclaim to the shepherds that the Son of David has come, the King, the Messiah is here, he was calling the shepherds to go see the newborn sacrificial lamb. It wasn't just that God was going to reach out to the lowly amongst them, which is very much in line with what we see in all of the prophecies throughout Scripture, but it was very purposeful that the shepherds were going to go to see the sacrificial lamb. God was calling them through the angels, calling shepherds, shepherding the shepherds. Sorry, I think I'm getting it backwards now. The angels were calling the shepherds, shepherding the shepherds to come see the chief shepherd who would not just be the shepherd king, but would be the Lamb of God. He would be the one that would take away all the sins of the people. John the Baptist was known for saying a variety of things. We hear him saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." We hear him saying, "You brood of vipers, who called you to come?" But interestingly enough, isolated in John, the book of John, more than you see in anywhere, I don't think you see it anywhere else in the gospel, so vividly pronounced, John, when he encounters Jesus at the baptism, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, the one who has come to take away the sins of the world." And then again, when Jesus was walking by him and he was with the disciples, his own disciples, he says, "Behold, the Lamb." And the disciples were like, "What is he talking about?" You know, you hear the song, "Mary, did you know?" But did the shepherds know that they were being called not to just see the shepherd king, but to see the very lamb? We see David in the position of a lamb being shepherded. And we know now that in the revelation of the gospel, that as Jesus now sings this psalm, He is not just the shepherd king. He became one of us and became the sacrificial lamb. And I just want to end with what Jesus said about himself as that shepherd lamb. And I want us to think about who he is for us and dwell and meditate upon what great shepherd king, what great shepherd lamb there was, now is ruling as king. He is truly now the shepherd king because he became the lamb on our behalf. In John chapter 10, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he will go before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of for he does not know the voice of strangers. For they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd. He who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Jesus is the good shepherd who leads us through life. Jesus is the good shepherd who leads us through death. Jesus is the good shepherd who leads us to his table, who leads us to the manger. He leads us to the manger where he, the Lamb of God, is in the manger, in a place to be consumed for the sake of life. Not just this life, but forevermore. And because he laid down his life for us, we will be in his household, our Father's house, forevermore. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful and simple song.